So I want you to think back to a time when you realized that things were different in other places, maybe other houses, and yours was just a different experience than what you were watching or what somebody told you about. So think about a moment in your life, maybe as a kid, where that happened and you realized, oh, not everybody has the same experience that I do. Not everybody lives in the same place, has the same opportunities that I do. So when I was a kid and the Disney Channel first came out, just shows how old I am, okay? When it first came out, they were doing original movies. Now they do it all on Disney Plus. But they were doing original movies, and one of the movies was called Night Crossing. And in Night Crossing, they told the story of two families who wanted to get out of East Germany. Really, really bad. They were tired of living there and being told what job you could have or couldn't have. Their kids were being told what you will study in college and what you won't study in college. Everything was dictated to them, and they longed to get out of there and get to West Germany where they could be free. And so they went through this experience of building a hot air balloon, and it took them two attempts to actually get out of the country and land in West Germany and be free. But I remember as a little kid watching this going, oh my goodness, really? They're being told what job they can have or can't have. They're being told what you can grow up and do and not do. And everything in their life was dictated to them. And the government is searching for them because they found the first balloon. And it was unbelievable. And I'm thinking, wow, right? It's a kid that has a huge impact on me. Not everybody has the same experience that I do. Not everybody lives in a place that is free like we do. That was amazing. So this morning, as we get to this last part of this series, we're going to be talking about that, this idea of freedom. So if you're just starting with us, for those joined online as well, we've been saying that in 2020, because of everything going on, we don't need a little Christmas. We need a whole lot of Christmas. We need a lot of Christmas everywhere, and we've told you to do whatever it takes to do that. So last week was all about that we need a lot of Christmas because we need a lot of truth. A truth is something that just got ignored. In fact, I was watching a show this week that was talking about what did we learn in 2020. And one of their assessments, truth is dead. Truth is dead. Because of everything that happened and everything that's going on, that's one of their conclusions from this year. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. We just talked about that. We need a lot of truth. Truth is not something to run away with. It's not something to hide from. It is something to fully embrace and live out in our lives. And so here was my challenge to you, and maybe you did this, maybe not. Whatever is going to help you remember what Christmas is all about, go all in, okay? And, you know, some of you have done that. I've driven by some of your houses, okay? You went a little Clark Griswold, it's okay. It's good, right? Because whatever's going to help you do that. So if you need the 10-foot tree to shove in your house, right? Right up through the ceiling, do whatever you need to do, right? Because we just wanted you to do that this year. This is a time of year to celebrate and remember, and we need a lot of it, okay? And we've been basing this all off of that in your Bibles, in Scripture, there's really four different people who talk about the birth of Christ. And they do it very differently. Matthew's very different than Luke. And then last week we looked at John, and we didn't even think John talked about the Christmas story. We'll wait till today. You probably never thought you would know that Paul would talk about the Christmas story. But he actually does. And in the context of where he does it, where he goes back, and he goes back to the birth of Christ, where he does that is really important. He does that actually in the first letter that he ever wrote. And it's to the church in Galatia, okay? It's to that church that he decides to reach back in the middle of what he's talking to them about and bring up the Christmas story. And so, well, why did he do that? Because of something he wanted them to know. And you got to understand something about the church in Galatia. Now, this would be a province, okay? This is not like Corinth, a town. This would be like the county in which the town was in, okay? So he wrote to lots of different churches in this area. And they had one problem, one big problem. And that was that people thought you had to be Jewish in order to follow Jesus, okay? So, this is great. You're following Jesus, and you repented of your sins, and you're following him. That's great. You got to be Jewish now, Okay, so you got to celebrate all our feasts that we do, and that means, guys, you got to be circumcised, and you got to do all this stuff, and the Sabbath, and you have all these rules. And it was one of the huge contentions in the early church. Do people need to be Jewish in order to follow Jesus? It was a huge thing. And of course, they had a big meeting about it, and they concluded, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. And in fact, those in the room who were all Jewish, basically, but a couple said, we couldn't even follow the law, okay? The law is so big and has so many rules, none of us got it right. And now we're going to take people who didn't grow up that way, who didn't grow up in that kind of culture, following these rules and growing up living this out, and we're going to make them do it. We couldn't even do it. And it was one of the conclusions they had. Yeah, there's some things they should do. There's some things that they should follow. But no way does this mean they need to be Jewish. Okay? And that was huge because Paul dealt with it everywhere, including in this place. Now, that's important because of what he's going to talk about today that I think is so helpful for us if we could get it and get a hold of it. So here we go. Galatians chapter 4, beginning verse number 3. So also when we were minors, we're enslaved under the basic forces of the world. So he's just using an analogy here because he's trying to get them to understand and embrace kind of what's going on. He says, and he just uses his analogy. Listen, before you came to age, there were certain rules and restrictions that you followed, okay? But, and he's comparing this to what it means to follow Jesus, but when the appropriate time came, God sent out his son. This is a Christmas story. Born of a woman, born under the law for a specific purpose. And here he goes with it, okay? To redeem those who were under the law. So that's his whole message. It's going to be redemption, okay? So that we might be adopted as sons. Now, he doesn't mean this is only good for men. He uses sons because that was the culture in which they live, okay? That sons got everything and they had full rights, okay? And he says, do you understand what God did? Through Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us. So guess what happens to us? We get the full rights. We get adopted into God's family with full rights. Continues, and because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, who calls Abba, Father. He says, you understand what God has done? It's amazing what God has done. Stop following all these things and think you got to do all these rules for a moment. You have been set free. Do you understand? God adopted you into his family. And we can't miss that. And he did that for redemption. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. This is huge. I wonder how many Christians we got who are living as slaves and not as sons, not as daughters, not with full rights and full heirs of God that we've been adopted into his family. We're just living as slaves, doing, just being overcome with rules, and we have to follow this, and we have to do this, and I have to get everything right to please God. And he says, that's a slave, that's not a son. And you are an heir. And you are not a slave anymore. You are a son. Paul wanted us to know that something amazing started at Christmas. That God's plan went into full effect and it started at Christmas. That is redemption. And maybe for redemption before, we've talked about it. There's a couple different definitions in the Bible. And this is one specifically that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, and here it is. Redemption. To pay a price to recover from the power of another. Okay, so this is a little different. In fact, some of you in your Bibles, if you have different translations, might see the word ransom used. Because it's almost closer to ransom than redemption. So you can use either word here. In other words, you are enslaved to the power of one thing. A price is paid and you are brought out under the power of that one thing into a power of something else. You've been recovered. You were under that power, and that person told you what to do, and you were under their control, and a price was paid for you. You were ransomed. You were redeemed. A price was paid for you, and now you are under the power of another. So, what does this look like? Okay, basically, it looks like that Jesus paid it all so we could be set free to do God's will. That we are no longer under the power of our enemy, of the world, that we are set free to live out and to do God's will. This is incredible. This is huge, huge news. Okay? So let's take Paul for a minute. Because he first enters the story as Saul. Not a very nice guy. Not somebody you invite to church. Okay? Because he'd arrest everybody at church. Okay? And send them off. That's who he was. So when he is redeemed on the road to Damascus, he is going to Damascus, he's got a letter in hand, and he's arresting everybody, okay? He has got this passion, and, you know, the high priest in Jerusalem are like, woo, we got this guy. This guy's on our team. He's out getting everybody and arresting everybody, and we like him. God takes that, redeems him from being under that power to work against God, work against the church, and he turns that into Paul's zeal to proclaim. Just read the last half of the book of Acts. Take the last five chapters. This man is driven. He is driven. The same zeal that made him go to all these towns and go, okay, we're the Christians. We're taking them all. We're taking them all. You. You're all going to jail. Who was there, by the way, when Stephen in Acts chapter 7 is killed. He is there giving full approval. Hey, if we got to kill him. Sorry. Okay. That's his zeal for this. For ending the church, ending the movement called the Way. And God takes that and he redeems them from that power that is running and controlling his life. And God's like, I'm using this guy. This is going to be great. Okay? This guy's going to go everywhere. And we don't understand because in our modern world, it's very easy to travel. It's very easy to go all over the place. Paul is so driven to get everywhere, go anywhere possible in order to tell the story of Jesus and see people have the same experience he did. To be redeemed from one power and brought to the power of another and watch it completely flip their life around. To the guy who's wrecking the church is now building the church everywhere he goes. That's Paul's story. And that's what Paul wants to happen to every single person following Jesus. That they would be purchased from underneath the power of something else and would be set free to do what God has created them and called them to do. So, what I'd like to do is take the next few moments and show you a couple of examples in the book of Galatians of what he's talking about, this whole idea of this power to redeem and being set free from the power of another into what God has called us to do. Okay? And I want you to see that the freedom redemption offers. Ultimately, we want to go this morning is this idea of the freedom that we all desire, that we all want, is the freedom that redemption offers us. Okay? And here's the first one. The freedom from trying to earn what is a gift. The freedom from trying to earn what is a gift. So look what he says in chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm. Why do you got to stand firm? Because do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Here's he's trying to get him. What are you guys doing? Why are you running around trying to be Jewish? Why are you trying to get everybody to follow all these things that we couldn't do? What are you doing? Why are you trying to earn something that is a gift? So here's my question for this morning. What are you doing to try to earn God's love and salvation? And one of the easy ways to think about this, okay, is to think, okay, if I stand before Jesus and I have to give an answer for why I should have eternal life with him forever in heaven, what would I say? Oh, Jesus, I got a list. You know, I went to church. I never fell asleep once, okay? I was amazing, right? I taught all these teenagers, and they were loud and obnoxious, and I made it years. Well, we have all these things that are on the list. You don't understand how much I gave, and you understand, you know, I served on boards, and I did all this stuff, and we have our lists. And you know what? None of that matters. That just proves we're trying to earn something that is a gift. And this is what he's trying to set us free from. Stop trying to please God, trying to earn his love, trying to earn his salvation. That's not what he's done. He has redeemed you, not because of what you've done, because of what he did to set you free. Not to run around going, okay, I'm sick, but I got to go to church. I got to go to church because if I miss a day, that's a point against me. I'm telling you what, you want to know what people look like when they're trying to do this? Watch some sitcoms sometimes, okay? I've heard people say, well, isn't it true that every day you don't go to church, God takes a year off your life? No, it's not even close, okay? You hear the most ridiculous things because this is the way most people live. I've got to try to earn God's love. I got to try to earn to be accepted. See, I am a good person, God. You ought to love me. And God's going, no, you are a terrible person. That's why I died for you. To save you and to buy you from the power that's been running your life, trying to get you to earn everything. I bought you out of that power. Stop living in it. I want to set you free to live like your son, like your daughter, where you are not questioning today, oh, it's a bad day. Don't know if God really loves me today. Know that God loves us every day. Every day. If we understand our position as a son or daughter because of what Jesus done, and I have accepted that and welcomed that and been bought out of that power, it would totally change the way that we live. And then we would think about, what do I do today? Well, I don't have to live according to trying to appease God or please God. I just have to live according to the freedom he's given me. And out of that, I'm living as a son and a daughter of God, that I am adopted into his family. I'm telling you, it'll radically change the way that you think. It'll change the way you think about coming to church. Why do I go to church? Why do I give? And why do I? And we're going to hit the next one right now, because he's talking about this aspect too of what it means to follow Jesus. An aspect that should be a part of our life, and that it's the freedom to serve. There's freedom to serve. Now look what he tells them here, okay? Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, okay? So Christ has set you free. He's bought you out of the power of one, and he has set you free. It's not to just do whatever you want. And he goes, why are you guys thinking that way? No, we have not been free to do whatever we want. Instead, through love, serve one another. That we have been set free to serve one another. Now, there was an incredible example of this. We're about the time of year where, in a normal year, we would be headed down to winter retreat, okay, here in a bit. And about, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago, and I still remember this discussion. There were two deaths that took place about a week apart. One the end of August, one the beginning of September, the year of 1997. And it gave a great launching off point for a discussion to take place at Winter Retreat. Because these two lives were two people that people said, wow, these are people that serve. Okay? They are both people that serve. And they serve well. And everybody talked about them because they serve well. And let me tell you, people mourned at their death because of the things that they did. But they were both motivated by two different things. Okay? So in late August of 1997, Princess Diana died in a car crash. About a week later, Mother Teresa died. Okay, do you know the difference between those two ladies? This was talked about, I'm telling you, I just remember it like it was yesterday. That one served to get love, and one served to give love. No secret, you don't have to read too much to know that things in the castle were rough and difficult for Diana. And she found that serving just did wonders, right? This is great. I can help all these people and do all these things. And what she got out of serving was what wasn't available in the castle, and that was love. And she found it doing that. Then you have Mother Teresa, who has motivated her entire life to serving God and doing whatever he called her to do. And she went to some unthinkable places, did some unbelievable things. But see, she wasn't trying to get anything. She was trying to give everything possible. So, take those two examples. Why do you serve? And I want you to think, where am I serving trying to get love instead of give love? That tells me we have not been set free to serve. We have not been set free to serve. If we're motivated by, I got to get something for myself out of this. Okay? And it's easy to get people to do that. Why? Because serving, man, I'm helping these people. It makes you feel so good. And that is for both people following Jesus and people not following Jesus. That's why people get moved by those stories and why GoFundMe pages go crazy, okay? Because people are moved by, wow, I can take a little bit of money and help them. What a terrible situation they are in. That made me feel good, okay? So why did you do what you did? Because it made me feel good. Do you see what we did? We served in order to indulge ourselves ultimately because it gave us what we wanted, made us feel good. Where am I serving trying to get love instead of giving the love that God has shown to me? It might totally change the way we think about serving and why we serve and why we volunteer and why we do the things that we do. Paul said, you know, we've been purchased out of one power over here into another, and it's the power to be free to serve others and to give God's love and to give it away because God has given everything to us. The last one, the freedom to restore. The freedom to restore. So in chapter 6, obviously with all this turmoil in Galatia, okay, with people saying, you got to be a Jew, you don't have to be a Jew, you have to keep the Sabbath, we don't know, and there's all this thing. So there's people who got it and people who didn't. It really created some incredible tension for the church. Sometimes I think we just we get a picture, over-romanticize the early church. Like, they had no problems. It all went great. They just gathered every Sunday morning before the sun came up, right? And just sat around and held hands and just like, this is just wonderful, okay? If that's your picture of the early church, you've got the wrong picture, okay? It was hard. It was difficult. The reason they got up early, and I mean early, is because Sunday was not a day off. Okay, it was like every other day. And they would gather and they would worship before they went off to work. And it was hard, it was difficult, it was challenging. And so Paul speaks into that with how are we going to help one another when we don't get things right? Because come on, they didn't get things right, we don't get things right. So what are we going to do when one another doesn't get things right? Okay, so chapter 6 verse 1. If a person is discovered in some sin, you who are spiritual should. Now, I can fill in the blanks with lots of stuff that I've seen over my years, right? But what does it say? You should restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Restore. Well, that's an interesting idea. Notice what he doesn't tell us to do. Hey, if you just all get around and gossip about the person, that'll just change their life. No. Just get on Facebook and get in a big Facebook fight. That changes everybody, right? No. He didn't tell us any of that. He tells us those people, because it's going to happen, need to be restored. They don't need to be talked about. They need to be lovingly talked to and to pray with and to help and to do whatever we can in order to help such a person, right? Why? Because that could be any one of us in the room. That could be any of us in the room who get caught up in the power of another and start going down wrong roads and doing wrong things. That could be any of us in the room. And what do we want to happen when it's us? Oh, we want everybody to talk about us behind our back. What do we want? We want people to love us, pray with us, support us, and help us through whatever it is we're going through. And this has been a huge challenge in every church to try to get this right, okay? So, where have we? And notice I changed the pronoun because this is really a we. This isn't so much a me. It is to start because it's what is my part in all of this. But this is a we as a church. Where have we been too harsh and have missed opportunities to restore people? So that's a we question. Then I get to think about, okay, what's been my role in that? How have I not helped that? How have I made that worse? What could have I done different? Okay? But as a we have to think about where have we been too harsh that we have missed opportunities to actually, when somebody falls, to actually restore them and help them get back up. And where have we missed those opportunities? Because we've just been too much stuck in something else, with something else, and we haven't been able to do just that. See, we need a lot of Christmas because we need a lot of redemption in order to be free. To stop living under that power of another that we've lived under for long enough, and to be set free to do what we've talked about this morning. To be set free. That I stop living trying to earn something that is a gift. That I would stop trying to earn those things. That I would be set free to serve. That my motivation for when there's opportunities, is that an opportunity where I can give love? If it isn't, and where am I just trying to get love? And boy, that made me feel good. I'd like to keep doing more of that. That made me feel good. That something did something for me. It almost doesn't matter if it does something for somebody else. Does it do something for me? And where are we missing the power to restore somebody else and offer somebody our hand and say, let me help you up. Let me help you up. Let me help you out. What can I do to help you restore, to get back on the track of following Jesus? So those are those freedoms that redemption gives us by purchasing us and buying us from the power of one to a power of another. See, I thought we understood this. I'm telling you, that movie still had a great impact because I didn't think people lived like that. And then what? So then I'm watching as what happens. As the famous speech went, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. That wall is gone, and some of you didn't even know there was an East and West Germany at some point. You never heard of that. There's just Germany, right? You didn't know there was this thing called the Berlin Wall that fell one day and tried to restore a freedom that was lost. But here's what I've watched in our own nation, especially over this year. If you don't know your history, you have no idea who we are as a nation, and you start giving up things that we were never intended to give up. In fact, there were a whole reason for it in the beginning, why everything started. We tried, this was our whole goal, to get us out of the power of one. This is why every American ought to understand redemption. We were, what, through war, brought out of the power of one. And then we have to figure out, okay, what a world are we going to do here? And out of that comes what? Declaration of Independence started it. The Constitution continues that. And if you don't know that, you don't know the power that was set free from one and put in the other. Because I wonder how much we have forgotten about that. And we've just gone back to old ways and old patterns and living like we're under the power of something that we've never been under the power of. That's why I think every Christian who grew up in America, who understands it, we ought to get redemption because it's a part of our own story as a nation. And we ought to be able to see it in our own lives that God has redeemed and rescued us and brought us out of the power of one into the power of another. And that all started at Christmas. So I'm going to ask us this morning as we pray that you would ask God a really big question. Here it is. How free am I living? How free am I really living? If you, Heavenly Father, because you sent Christ and he died in my place and he rose again for my salvation and bought me out of the power of one into the power of another, then how free am I really living? That's the question, because Christmas is all about redemption and the redemption that sets us free. So let's pray and let's ask God that big, hard question. You people online, ask God that question and let's just see where he speaks into our lives that perhaps we are not living as free people that he has created us to be. Heavenly Father, we just start by acknowledging this season is incredible and awesome. We love it. We needed a lot of it after this year. And this morning, I realize this probably wasn't the Christmas message we thought. But Father, it's Paul's message of one of the incredible things that Christmas started. It started redemption, which started in a manger and ended at a cross and ultimately concluded with an empty grave. We have been set free. But most of us, if we'd be honest, we don't live with that freedom. In fact, we'd almost say that people live in countries with very, very, very limited freedom, and they live freer than we do as followers of you. Because they have fully embraced redemption and being bought from underneath the power of one and put into the power of another. So I ask today you'd help us to ask that hard question. Where are we not living as free people? And Father, may we just be silent. May we ask that question for the next several days. May you be faithful to answer us and show us and reveal to us where we have been missing out on the freedom that we have in you. The freedom that started at Christmas. Help us to embrace this life. Help us to live as sons and daughters of yours, who don't have to worry when we wake up in the morning and we start our day, whether or not this is going to be a day our Heavenly Father loves us. What are we going to do to please Him? We would live out of the freedom as a son and daughter and living a total life that ultimately brings you glory and pleases you. Out of, again, not trying to earn something, but embracing our position in your family. Help us to do that. Help us to live that out. Work in a powerful way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.